Welcome back to the Legends and Lore podcast, episode 2, The Nightwalker. This story was told to me a while ago, and I'm going to try to tell it the way it was told to me. We were walking down the road, and there was this streetlight. It was flashing in the distance. Me and my friends, we had, you know, we were just going out for a walk. It was after school. We were, I think, 19, 20 at the time. We were trying to decide, you know, what to do. In a small town, you know, there's not really that much to do. You can visit a Walmart. You can, you know, go to the mountains. You can go swim. You can go to the beach, just depending on where you live. Well, me and my friends, we decided we're just going to go on a nice, calm walk. It was fall, like it is now. The leaves were turning bright red and orange. It was about, I'd say, an hour to sunset. So there was plenty of time to go walk. We lived on a little road. Its name was Carville. On this road, there was my house, and there were two other houses. As we were walking up the road, we came across this streetlight. The streetlight was, I don't know how to describe it. It was very moth to a flame type. It was blinking in such a repetitive pattern and flickering like something was off. It didn't seem like a normal streetlight. We're walking down and we see this house. It's way off the road. Now, this isn't surprising. We did live in the middle of nowhere, but I mean, there's still houses that we don't see often or that are pushed back, you know, into the woods. But this one we'd never really noticed before. As me and my friends were walking, I guess it was the time of day that that light just drew us in. We decided we were going to check out the house. There were no cars home. I mean, it was a long driveway, so we had plenty of places to hide if someone came home. So we decided we were going to walk up their driveway. So me and my friends, not caring too much, just stroll up the driveway. No issue, no problem. Calm, cool, and collected. We did want to show off for the girls for sure, though. We had five of them with us and five boys. We wanted to make sure that we could show off how brave we were. So we walk up to the house, and immediately you can see that this porch is dilapidated and rotten. It is just, it's not a place you want to stand on. Let's say it like that. You can see this exposed nails sticking up out of the floorboards. You can see all kinds of algae and mold and moss starting to grow up in the corners. And the door, now the door was not even fully closed. From this, we could immediately tell that this house had been abandoned. There had been no one in this house for quite some time. We decided that it was time to go in and explore. I mean, what's the point of coming up to a spooky house if you're not gonna, you know, show off for the girls? Well, that was a mistake we would later regret. We decided we were going to go in through the front door. We only had the flashlights on our phones, no provisions, no packs, no nothing. We were just, you know, walking down the road. We weren't prepared for a haunted house. We opened the door and it lets out a loud creak, as it does when something's old. We thought nothing of it. Then we start walking and the floor is creaking. More than it should. It's one of those types of floors when you walk on it that it's just, and it feels like the whole house is moving at the same time. We're looking around and it's perfect. Absolutely perfect on the inside. Not a bit of dust. Not anything out of place. Everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. That's when we first started feeling the terror. We could tell something was off right away. Immediately, the girls, they decided they were going back outside. They had came through the threshold with us, but as soon as they saw that, they went outside. Well, us being who we are, we decided, we're going to go explore. So what if it's in perfect condition? Maybe it was left that way. So we start walking around the house, opening up cabinets and drawers. Everything was fully stocked. Everything was new. Everything was in date. Not a speck of dust, not a rat, not a spider. Everything was perfect. And then it wasn't. We heard a falling glass come from the second story of the house. It made that sound like when someone's startled and they drop something. We immediately ran out of the house. We thought someone was home. And we had just broken into someone's house. Well, one of our friends slipped. He had been going up the stairs and he fell down. We ran out. We didn't have a choice. There was nothing we could do. We stood outside the house for a minute, waiting for him to catch up with us. We were hiding behind some trees, I'd say about 20 feet away. But he didn't come out. We decided it was worth the risk. We had to go back inside. We had to go rescue our friend. I mean, yes, we're probably going to get in some trouble because we broke into someone's house. But our friend isn't here, so we had to go. So we go inside, and the house does not look the same. The table is gone. The chairs are broken. The food's missing. It looks like the porch, dilapidated, disgusting, about to fall in. Me and my friends all shared a look, and we didn't know what to do. What are you supposed to do? We were scared. We looked around and we stepped back out into the porch and we had this long discussion on what to do. We were freaking out. What rational, you know, explanation is there for this? There is none. There's nothing we could do. Me being the quote unquote dumb one of the group, I decided that we had to have our friend. We couldn't just leave him there, even if it meant danger for myself. I decided that I was going to go upstairs and figure out what it is. Now, I'm not dumb enough to go without a weapon. I did find a piece of the broken chair and was carrying it with me. Walked up the stairs, all the way to the top, and there was a door. Just one singular master bedroom door at the top of the stairs, and it was ajar. I walked in, slowly opening the door. There was rattling in the background. It was shaking the house. I began to look around, and the light fixtures that were so old were starting to fall. But I kept pushing the door open to see. When I opened the door, I was not prepared for what I saw. There my friend was, completely unconscious, laying on his back in the middle of the floor. Beside him was one single lit candle. No more. No less, just one, all alone on the floor, with a bright blue flame. I quickly ran over to my friend, and I shook him as hard as I could, screaming, "Wake up, wake up! You have to get up, it's not safe here." And I tried and I tried and I tried, but he wouldn't wake. There was no bruising, there was no bleeding. He was fine. But he wouldn't wake up. I quickly grabbed him by his feet I wasn't strong enough to throw him over my back and carry him out, so I just dragged him by his feet. I pulled him and pulled him and pulled him and got him to the top of the stairs. And once he was finally at the top, I started dragging him down by his hands so his head wouldn't hit the stairs. By the time I made it back to the back to the bottom floor, there were candles everywhere. There were so many candles. There was blue candles, red candles, yellow candles, green candles. Everywhere you look, the flames are different colors, and I did not know what to do. I grabbed him and pulled him as hard as I could, making sure that we got out of that house. All of my friends were terrified. They were still standing outside, as far away from the house as physically possible to see us. I ran outside, and when they saw me with our friend, they ran over and we immediately took off. We ran as fast and as far as we can. Now, our friend, he did recover. He did. I'm thankful for that. But this still shakes me to my core. The only thing he remembers about going up the stairs is he saw three blue flames swirling around one another, back and forth, spinning in an endless circle. No faster, no slower, just levitating off the ground. That's the only thing he remembers. Well, about a week later, I decided that I was going to walk by the house. Even though I was dumb, I wasn't dumb enough to go back in the house, but I had to see the house one more time. I wanted to see if the living room had changed. The door was wide open when we left, so I should be able to do that without going into the house, of course. Walked down, and it was the same time of day. There's no streetlight. Huh. How could there not be a streetlight there? It was just there. It was lighting up the whole house. That's how we found it in the first place. I walked to where the house has been, and it just wasn't there anymore. There was nothing there. There was no flat land. There was just bushes and shrubs. But the one thing I did see when I looked off into the distance, when I tried to find this house, I saw one blue candle floating about 200 yards away, and I rubbed my eyes to see if I was seeing things. It was gone when I unrubbed my eyes, but I do not know what happened. We went from investigating just one simple house that looked abandoned to it being gone. I later brought back my friends and they couldn't believe it. From that point on, we never spoke about it again. We drifted apart. I got really obsessed with studying other stories like this because I can't be the only person. I can't be the only person that's ever seen these blue flames, but I still don't know what happened to the house. 5 years later, I moved out of that neighborhood as quickly and as efficiently as I could. That was how long it took me to save up the money, because moving isn't cheap. I decided I would never live near the woods again. From there, I moved into New York City, and I haven't seen a ghost since. Thank you for listening. That was episode 2 of the Legends and Lore podcast.